morning. It's exactly 1 year ago, Monday, Parsha Shemot, I spoke here last time. It was still in its early stages. It's most impressive to see how a year later it still continues, it does continue to flourish, Baruch Hashem, in full swing. Because it's well the health, may go, Mechayim, Mechayim. I would like to discuss the Siyata Dishmai, important points concerning Tefillah. It may seem simple and well known, but as the Gemara says, that Tefillah, Dvorim, Ha'emdim, Berumay, Shaloylam, is a very great and special Avodah that's in our Tefillah. Obnei Odom, Mezalzlim, Boy, the people undermine its value, therefore being such an important topic, such an important Indian of Tefillah, it's worthwhile to delve into it. We find in this week's Sedra, by Yizoko al Hashem, Klal Yisrael shouted to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, "V'tzhal shev osom el elekim min ha'avoda." It's only through Tefillah we see here that the Yidden were taken out of the tribe. As Rambam says, "Ki afal pi shenishlam hazman shenigzar aleihem." Although the man, the time has come that was Nigdal Leim to be in Golus, as however we understand this, wherever we make the Cheshbon, however we work out why it was Nishlam Azman, why it was already 400 years, but it was Nishlam Azman. Loi hayuruim liyigoyil elof nehatzer oko kibel tvilotso b'rachmo. Now although the time of redemption has arrived, it was only when the Davin threw Tfilah at the redeemed. By Yizoko al Hashem, but how she was when they came in Avodah, and that's when they went out of the tribe. In other words, if not for Tefillah, we still would have been left in the tribe. So what happened to the promise in Parshas Lech Lecha? Kigei yia zeracha be'erek le'lehem, v'acha kach yetsu v'chush klach ken yetsu v'chush godu, a promise of the evil will be redeemed and taken out of the tribe. What happened to this promise? If it would not have gone out, what happened to the promise? A similar observation we find in Parshas Lech Lecha. Hashem makes a clear promise that Avraham Avinu's children will be as many as the stars in the sky. Again, he promises Avraham, "I will sow ishtecho ledes lecho bein v'kirot shema Yitzchak." And again, "Ki Yitzchak yikara lecho zora." If it's so clearly written that Avraham Avinu is going to have children through Yitzchak, so why do we find the Parshas Lech Lecha that Yitzchak Avinu is begging Hashem for children? Rashi says, he entreated and begged Hashem again and again. Yitzchak knew very well of it. He was very, very well aware, fully aware of the promise that Avraham Avinu was promised by Hashem. So what was the purpose of his tefillah? And furthermore, why does the Pasuk say that Yesh Ha'aloi Hashem, that Yitzchak merited children through his own tefillah? The Yesh Ha'aloi Hashem, he merited children through his own tefillah. Whilst it was a promise of Avraham Avinu already. It was a promise, an old promise. We see from here, and also from many other examples in the Torah, no time to go through them all, says the Sefer Ikrim, that just as we understand, if Hashem promises a person, he'll have hatzlocha, he'll have success in his field, with his field. He promises him Rosh Hashanah that you'll have success. So what will Hashem do? He'll send rain on the field. But we are still required to do our part. We've got to do our shtadlus. Hashem will not do what we are required to do. The same goes with tefillah, said Sefer Ikrim. In other words, just as it's requisite to plant one's field, so the seeds, flower it, so it's essential to be mispalim. Everything is ready to be given to Klal Yisrael. Everything is ready to be given to this person. But only if he does his part, as the Mishpacha will not perform an undeserved miracle. If a person receives a check of £10,000 from his friend, but he does not bother to cash the check, then he has no gain from his generosity. He's got nothing of it. To receive £10,000, the check has to be banked. The check has to be banked. So how do we understand? So this is what I would like to address today, Be'ez Hashem. How do we understand this? What is so special about tefillah, why should we not get it without tefillah? Why do we need this? If it's all promised to him, all ready to be given to him, why can we not get this without tefillah? Furthermore, Chazal tell us, if they ma hoyu in the same way chorus, why are we more as barren? When they should Kadosh Baruch Hu mitzade l'tzidotan shal tzadikim, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu desires the prayers of tzadikim. So how do we understand this concept? Hashem's pity in us, we must remember, as the Chayim Zulover says, that the Baruch Hashem is merachim, yoyser mikol merachim. Hashem's pity in us, his achmonis in us, is more than a human being can comprehend. The prophet says, "Bonim atem Hashem elokeichem." We are children to Hashem. Hashem's love to us is much greater than a father's love to a child. If so, why should Hashem allow a father, our father in heaven, Abinu Shemeshamay, why should our father let tzaddikim suffer so much, keeping them childless for so many years, just in order to have them davening? This indicates that tefillah in itself is something so special that's worthwhile for them to experience pain for so many years, just in order for them to daven. As we see here from the Abba Tzilosh Tzadikim, so what's so exceptional with tefillah? Another question raised by the Mabit: how can we come and beg again and again and again the same exact request from the Baruch Shemayim? Isn't there an element of chutzpah in this? Because Baruch Hu wants to accept your request with the first of the kosher. Very nice. What's the purpose of asking again and again? Shachris, mincha, ma'ariv, again. Atoch, leinuch, aleinu, mitcha, efeinu, asher, v'neiru, fei, boruch, aleinu, again and again and again. The same thing, thank you. I heard once already. Just imagine coming to the king and asking once, coming every morning and afternoon and evening, asking the same thing again and again and again. What's going on here? You ask it once. Isn't there an element of chutzpah asking on this? And finally, the Gemara tells us in Sechta Brochus, Ha'oyster Tzilosoi Kera, I'll explain it, Ein Tzilosoi Tachanunim. The first answer Hashem explains what it means, Ein Tzilosoi Tachanunim, Elo Yimtso Chein Lefnei Amokim. In other words, his tzilos would not be accepted. What it means, Ha'oyster Tzilosoi Kera, gives us a bit of a shiver. It says, Ein Tzilosoi Tachanunim, tzilos won't be accepted. What is it all talking about? What does it mean, Ein Tzilosoi Kera? One explanation of the Gemara is, Doima Olof Kamasri. Rashi explains, Choyk Ukvua Hu Alai Lehispalel, V'tzorech Ani Lotseis Yidei Chevosai. A person says, I'm davening in order to fulfill my obligation, my mitzvah to daven. That's what I'm doing about davening. I come to Shachas, why am I coming? I'm coming in order to fulfill my obligation. This halacha is brought also in Shulchan Aruch and explained by the Mishnah Berurah, that a person must feel a personal need to daven. That's what the kva is. He's not feeling a personal need, he's only coming to fulfill his obligation. But how do we understand this? If someone shakes lulav or wears tefillin and has in mind, I want to fulfill my obligation, it's perfectly acceptable. If mitzvah tzrichas kavona, that's what a person's got to have in mind. I come to be mekayim the mitzvah from the Rebbeinu Shelayim. So why is tefillah different that we must feel a personal need, and if not, his tefillahs will not be accepted? What's so bad? I came to the kind of mitzvah, not worse than a different mitzvah, not different than a different mitzvah of lulav, tefillin, tzitzis, etc., etc. To answer these difficulties, let us understand the purpose of tefillah altogether. Imagine entering a house and hearing a 12-year-old child telling his mother, please, mommy, please don't forget, please don't give away my bed to anyone tonight. I shouldn't have to be sleeping in the street. Very interesting. Interesting bakosha from a child to a mother. An hour later, he hears his mother say, mommy, please don't forget to make supper for me tonight. Another half an hour later, he tells his mother, please don't forget to give me breakfast tomorrow. No doubt there's something wrong either with the child or with the mother. One of the two. A normal mother will give a child breakfast, dinner, and supper, and give him where to sleep. So why daven from our father, Avinu Shemayim? Why are we davening from him? Choneinu mi'itcho, deyo, abinu v'haske, borech aleinu, give me panosa, rifeinu, give me health. Kodesh Baruch Hu knows exactly what we need, and Kodesh Baruch Hu is our father. Surely, Benjamin will give us exactly what we need. Says my bit, in his classic statement, based on the Kim, Very, very important word. Very important, you say. Lo'hoya tachlis ha'tfila k'dei she'yana. The purpose of tefillah is not to be answered. That's not the purpose of tefillah. El lo'hoyos, but rather to demonstrate and to show she'ein ba'olam l'mi she'roi l'espalel el elo l'kev yisborach, that there's no one in the world who can fulfill our desires other than the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Ulahakir shehu choseh mikoil v'koil ve'ein mi she'emaleich etzroinoi elohu yisborach. And therefore we stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu three times a day to acknowledge our dependence upon Hashem as the ultimate source of all our requirements. That's the purpose of tefillah. That's the point of tefillah. The Chavis Lubavitch brought many Rishayim at this point. Just one more quote. The Chavis Lubavitch quotes the practice of a particular Chosid who asked us when Ezra would say the following to Kadosh Baruch Hu. He says like this: Ato yoidei ata kenosi v'oifen hanagosi. Hashem, you know everything I need. V'loi hoinda asticha b'tzorchi l'hoi oison aleyem. I'm not telling it to you because you don't know what I need. Elo sha'agish ani begoidul chasveni alecha. But rather that I should be aware that you are the source, the power, the enabler to actualize all my needs. So says the Chosid used to continue. Chayim Slavonis, one of the Rishonim, bring this from the Chosid Echo. Then Eshal, he continues, then Eshal mincha b'sich lusi. However, I'm going to ask something which I, in my b'sich lusi, if I ask something, which in your infinite wisdom you know it's not good for me, I'll request something which is not good for me. If you think it should not be fulfilled, I submit my rotzon to yours. I'm davening and I beg you, Rabbi Hashem, if this is the best for me, I beg you, please give it to me. If it's not good for me, obviously, then don't. Obviously, we know that tefillah brings a person to a madrega they should be able to accept. And very often, it's not worth it to get and to accept this matona, this request. But if a person davens properly, he comes to a higher madrega and it's worth it. But if I'm still not worth it, for whatever reason, it's not good for me, not worth it. If it's not good for me, then that's something else. And what the Chayes Rov is saying, and the point of the davening is, and so says the Mabit, and the purpose of that point of them is to demonstrate and show that there's no one else in the world who can fulfill our desires rather than only the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. And that's we come three times a day to acknowledge our dependence upon Hashem as the ultimate source of all our requirements. So coming now back to what we asked, if the purpose of tefillah is to request, to say what we need, there will be no reason for tefillah. A child does not need to ask his mother for food or for shelter. But the aim of tefillah is to impress upon oneself that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu will provide him everything, who provides him all his needs, and it's not koichi v'oitzim yodim. Therefore, we come again and again. We're not just coming, mother, father, please give it to me. Hashem knows exactly what you need. But Hashem wants us to come again, shachus, mincha, amarev, again and again and again, to impress upon oneself who is the ultimate source of all our requirements. Hashem is prepared to shower his brachas, but we must trigger this kindness by acknowledging our dependence on Hashem. And this is the essence of tefillah. And this is a lesson which we learn in the beginning of Bris Olam. The Pasuk says, V'odam ayin la'avoid esu adoma. The reason Hashem had not brought rain, says Rashi, why did Hashem not bring rain yet? Was because there was no one to recognize the value of rain. But when Adam HaRishon was created and recognized as important, he davened to Hashem, and only then did the vegetation begin sprouting. A lesson we learned from the beginning of Bria Sa'ilo, Hashem is prepared to shower now his brachas, but it's up to us to first acknowledge Hashem as the source of all the blessings. So Kadosh Baruch Hu did promise Avraham Avinu that there will be a serious Mitzrayim. But this week's Seder, by Yitzhaku al Hashem, only after they cried out to Hashem, then Hashem would redeem them. Because all depends still, and I would fill that to say, for Ikkun says, just like just like we must do our shtadlus to plow the field, etc., so we must daven. The same thing, because Baruch promised Avraham Avinu children from Yitzchak, but only after the Yata Yitzchak and Hashem and Neichach Ishte acknowledging their dependence on the Kodesh Baruch Hu, only then will they get which was promised and which is destined for them. If the purpose of Tzulah would only be a way to have our desires obtained and obtained and fulfilled, it would definitely be a chutzpah to repeat our request so many times. Again, Chameinim Yitzchak, well, you can't be five times, three times, and even a davening stomach, without even Shachat Mincha Ma'al, a person should, before he does any goes to work, anything, the person should always be used to say a quiet Tzulah to Rabbeinu Shlomo. What's he saying so many times? I heard it once. I heard it in the beginning of the week. Once a week. Well, you come again and again asking the same question. But it's not so, because the Baruch Hu is waiting for us to prepare ourselves to be able to be recipients for the Baruch Hu, to accept the abundance of goodness of Shefa that's ready to be poured. So every time we repeat our Bakosh with a true recognition, we come closer and closer to Hashem. Tefillah brings a person in such a closeness that the closeness to Hashem is this recognition that Kodesh Baruch Hu's infinite kindness sees it befit to keep them of his childness for so many years, and this recognition and closeness to Hashem is the greatest kindness for the others, who realize what it means to be close to Hashem. For them, they were prepared, they were ready, they were happy to accept this great kindness of tefillah, to bring such a close kindness and suffer with all charms for so many years. As tefillah is a way of growth, tefillah is the vacus that brings closeness to Hashem. And therefore we see that many Svarim, Muslim Svarim say, that's why it's so important to maxim tefillah the tzorah. A person, even if he's got no tzorah, everything is going very good, and everything is well, and everything is healthy, and everything is just right, the way he would like it to be. A person should always be davening, a person should always keep on davening, yakt in tefillah tzorah, before there's a tzorah, because he will keep away so many tzorahs. That's all the mention wants, so many times the person has to bring the Torah only in order for the person to bring him closer. But if the person feels the closeness, there's no need and no purpose for the Torah. For the Torah is only the purpose, like we see by the Ovis, the whole reason they were barren was only in order to bring them even closer, the Ovis of Kedoshim, and even closer, more debakers, and more recognition in the Ibrahim Shlomim. Now, it all explains that the reason a person stands still in Shemayna Asher with his two feet together, he says the word "She Odom Yakir She Ein Loi Dovor Me Asmoi Klau." Keeping the feet together is a way of feeling healthy. Just try it out. Put your feet together and start walking home. I don't think anyone will manage. Maybe you'll jump a bit, but I don't think you'll really manage to get home that way. The only way you walk is Baruch Hashem with two feet moving, one foot without them, and moving right and then the left. But standing them, keeping them still together, you realize you can't do anything, you're helpless. So a person comes to Shemayah Asher, he should feel when he does this, he should not stand two, and Mrs. Enoshim and Emoda standing and three together. He should know what the Maral says, and the purpose is, he should go and feel that he's helpless without the Rebbeinu Shlomo. Because that's the whole meaning and the whole point of Tefillah, the whole essence of Tefillah, to realize that we're helpless without the Rebbeinu Shlomo. An incredible story is told of Reb Chaskel Abramsky. Reb Chaskel Abramsky, very well known here in England, in the whole world, but he was in London before he went to Eretz Yisrael. Before that he was in Russia, and he was exiled to Siberia for learning and decimating Torah in communist Russia. Reb Chaskel Abramsky said about himself, said the story himself, he was prone to catch colds easily. He was always catching colds, that was his very, the whole time. On the very first day that they arrived in Siberia, they were told to run and to work barefoot across the ice on the cold, freezing Siberia, and this caused many prisoners to die from the frost and from the cold. So Chaskel said about himself, "When I came to Siberia and I saw what's happening, what I do, and I said I'm prone to catch colds the whole time, what I do." He said, he lifted his hands to Tfilah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, "Tata, it says in the Gemara, HaKoyu B'dei Shemayim Chutz Metzinim Upachim. Everything is in the hands of heaven except for the effects of cold and heat. A person can look after himself. A person can look after himself. He just can't come every day and down, Benjamin, please help me, not having cold, and it goes out in the freezing cold without the coat. A person is required to do his part. Of course, between the fact a person has to do his part and put on a coat and put on a scarf, dress warmly, and then obviously you daven as well. You must daven to be well and to be healthy, but it's hakoil, edesha, chutz, between the fact that's up to a person himself. Under normal conditions, I will try to guard myself from becoming ill. I will do my part. But in this weather and this situation, and with a lack of warm clothing, I can do nothing. Here, you put me in a situation that's not up to me, it's up to you. Tata, he said, he picked up his hand, said to the Shemayim, said, please, Tata, help me and protect me that I should not catch a cold, I should not be not well. Look how many people are dying from the cold. And not once said Reb Chaskel Abramsky during the time that I was in Siberia did I ever catch a cold. Because this is what I originally, when I came and arrived, that's what I asked for my father. This is what tefillah is all about. This is how you're meant to recognize and realize we've got nothing, only the Rebbeinu Shlom. We're all dependent on the Rebbeinu Shlom completely. And this is, and with this we understand in what way tefillah is different than all other mitzvahs. We ask, his tefillahs will not be accepted. And a person, he must feel that he has got nothing without the Rebbeinu Shlom. Why? I want just the kind of mitzvah, like any other mitzvah, lulav, shofar, tefillin. We have to feel we'll help us without the Rebbeinu Shlom. If Aaron Kotler explains it very nicely, because with this point, ein l'spalei rak b'shvil chiyuv shelo kolod, a person should not daven only because of the obligation that he must daven. Just like a child who is hungry, says the Baron Kotler, shouts, Mommy, I'm hungry. He shouts loud. When he's thirsty, he shouts, Mommy, I'm thirsty. And when he can't sleep at night, or falls over and hurts himself, he shouts, Mommy, and he needs some money. He's short of money. He runs to his father, Daddy, Tati, I need money. No one needs to command a child to go to his parents to ask her, or to ask him, to ask his father, or to ask his mother for money, or for food, or for anything else. The child does it by himself. How much more so, says the Baron Kotler, to the Melech, Malchei HaMelechim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'chayeinu ha'mesurim b'yadecha, our lives, our daily needs, our children are all dependent on him. How much more so do we have to turn and shout, Tata, please help us. We don't need a tzivui, we don't need a command. It goes by itself. The Ramban, says the Baron Kotler, is of the opinion that tefillah is not a deraisa. The machlek is Rambam and Ramban. If it's a deraisa or a derabonah. So he says, why? The Ramban holds it's not a deraisa. Min haTorah, you're not mechuyav to daven. Except special situations when it's a certain situation. But shachas mechla, you do not have to daven. Says the Baron Kotler, obviously, you don't have to give a special command for it. Because a child should shout for himself, like every normal child. He needs something, he shouts, Tata, Mama, please help me. If Simcha Zissel of Kelm explains with this point, the Potuk Yismach Leiv Mevakshei Hashem. Those who seek Hashem, those who daven to Hashem, rejoice. It doesn't say Yismach Leiv, the ones who a Mekabel, who the Rebbeinu Shlom accepts their tefillahs and fulfills their requirements. Mevakshei Hashem, just by davening in itself, when it's already Yismach Leiv, when it already rejoices. If a person requests something from his friend, so his friend fulfills his desire, he's happy, otherwise not. However, tefillahs that come as well, elevates him and brings him closer to Hashem, regardless whether his request was answered or not. Yismach Leiv Mevakshei Hashem, just for coming and be zeichah to daven to Rebbeinu Shloim, a person already rejoices. An amazing story is told of Reb Shaya Bedarki, who immigrated to Eretz Yisrael in the last century. On the way, there was a terrible storm and the ship broke apart and the passengers were thrown into the sea. Reb Shaya had the son and his daughter with him, and he began to swim with both of them. He kept both of them on the back, on his back, and he started swimming that way. After his after a while his strength began to wane, and with tears down his face, we can imagine what tears were down his face, told his daughter, there's no choice, he has to leave her. He has to leave her go, he can't scrub anymore. They both cried bitterly, and without a choice, he let her go. However, the daughter held on very, very tight to the father and would not let go of her father. And she cried, "You're my only father. Father, how can you do this to your daughter? How can you do this?" Upon hearing this, these words, "You're my only father, how can you do this?" He grabbed hold of her with his last ounce of strength and managed somehow to swim and reach the shore with both of them, and then he fainted. Couldn't anymore, he fainted. Upon awakening, he told his daughter, "I want you to remember your whole lifetime, the experience we had at the sea. I had no strength to continue. It was only your words, 'Father, I have no one besides you,' that I girded every last ounce of strength and persevered until we were saved." That's the koyach. It's the real way of tefillah. The realization, "Father Hashem, we have no one but you to turn to you. Ki alecha einenu." And we find, and the truth is, we find that when a person does daven this way, in this week's Sadra again, we find that a person does daven this way, a person always gets answered. We find that the Ramban says, and the Pasuk Erke Asher Erke brings the Chazal, and Chazal say that the Klal Yisrael wants to know, "Give me a sign," the Ask Moshe Rabbeinu, "give me a sign that we can see that Ashkocha is with Klal Yisrael, that the Ashkocha prophet, that it is Hashem who's the divine presence, that Hashem is with us. Give me a sign to see this." So says the Rebbeinu Shleim, as Chazal say, the Ramban brings this, "Erke Asher Erke, Erke, I'm going to be with you in this Torah, and I'm going to be with you in all other Torahs. They're going to call to me, and I'm going to answer them. The Ein Lecha Raya," I can't remember exactly the words, I haven't had a chance to check it, but more or less these words, "The Ein Lecha Raya," the do not need any proof, any other proof, to see the Ashkocha of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, only this fact, that throughout all the Goliaths, throughout the whole continuous Golis, whatever Klal Yisrael are going to go to, and all the Torahs, "Yikra'uni b'ani enem," whenever you're going to shout to me, I'm going to answer. "V'ein l'chot tzayich v'raya l'acheres," and there's a Rebbeinu Shleil who looks after us. And we see that continuously. A person daven is something unbelievable, it's a tangible thing which we can see the Rebbeinu Shleil through Tzvillot of Rabban. Because a person daven to all other generations, and we daven properly, and we see how the Rebbeinu Shleil helps us. Let's take the opportunity for the office after daven and daven again and again. Not the chutzpah, the opposite. It brings us close. Let's remember the lesson from the Sedrus, that our tefillah open the gates of salvation. We need to daven to unlock the key, to open the door that's waiting to be opened. And let's remember what tefillah is all about. It's to impress upon oneself that only Kodesh Baruch Hu himself who can provide him with all his needs. If we strengthen our tefillah and the tochen in the Kodesh Baruch alone, we are guaranteed to be answered. May Kodesh Baruch help us, that we should elevate our tzvilis, elevate ourselves, and our tzvilis should elevate us, and come closer to Kodesh Baruch Hu, and take with us the message of tzvila, and the yitzhakor and Hashem, b'tzal rehem, which we could say him and see them.